This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, what is leptospirosis and could it affect your pet? Some thoughts on small pets' nutritional needs, and for pet entrepreneurs and pet parents, a blueprint for success. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Email us at doggydivashow@aol.com. That's doggydivashow@aol.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DINOVITE.com. Dynavite is nutrition.
Probably 2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a Dynavite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without Dynavite. When I get out the Dynavite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layden, president of Professional Pets. And with our pet tip of the week, Monica, there's something, and I always feel it's good to talk about this at least once a year, but it's something that I don't think people fully understand and understand how their pet can get this disease. And I believe it could even be transmitted to humans. So could you tell us a little bit about leptospirosis?
Yeah, so leptospirosis, they kind of call the invisible risk, because a lot of people, it's not like, you know, rabies where, you know, a dog is or a cat have gotten, you know, they're getting bit by something. It is something that they can pick up in a couple different ways, and it's shed through a lot of our wildlife. So squirrels, possums, fox, raccoons. We can get leptospirosis. Our dogs can get leptospirosis, and it's shed, through the urine. So what happens is you can have a dog that only goes out in your yard, and they can still pick up leptospirosis, not even being around any other dogs. What happens is you'll have a raccoon pass through the yard, or a squirrel, or a possum, or, you know, is it any of the wildlife? And they will urinate in the yard. And what happens is when it rains, you get little puddles. And your pet walks through those puddles. And they get leptospirosis. It is that easy. When you have, and I always tell people to be really cautious, when you go out after a rain and you kind of have that pooling at the edge of your driveway, I don't know about everybody else, but my dogs immediately, like, they can just drink a whole bowl of water. But if there's something in there, they're like, oh, let's go check that out. Let's, you know, taste some of this water. And that's the, you know, worst thing you can do, because it's all pooling from your grass. So huge chances of getting leptospirosis that way. Another thing is like nature parks, things of that, you know, where they go to, you know, this wildlife sanctuaries and nature parks that you can go walk along in the trails. After it's rain, after it rains, you have that puddling. And that puddling is going to be filled with whatever is in the soil. And oftentimes that can be leptospirosis. And leptospirosis in your pets, left untreated, can affect the kidney and the liver and send them into either kidney failure, liver failure, sometimes both. Oftentimes it's overlooked. And, you know, we've had cases here locally where we had, you know, 2-3-year-old dogs come in and they had liver disease, and we're thinking, wow, you know, that's pretty young for that. And you start to do your workup and you start to run tests. Lo and behold, they had leptospirosis, and the family had a larger yard, and they did get a lot of wildlife. And within a couple months, the neighbor's dog became sick, and the neighbor's dog was diagnosed with leptospirosis and tested positive for it. Leptospirosis is not difficult to treat. You can treat it with antibiotics, get them through it, but you have to know it's there before the damage is done. And that's the key. Vaccinating your pets for leptospirosis, it's an absolute for me. I think that all pets should be, all dogs should be vaccinated for leptospirosis, especially for us here in Florida, just because there's such a high entity of it. And, you know, we had cases here locally a couple of years ago too, where they were doing a triathlon, and part of the triathlon, it was done through a state park, and they had biked so far and ran so far. And then they did one of the, reservoirs. And when they were swimming, you know, one of the, participants had gotten sick afterwards. And in people, it presents like a flu that just doesn't go away. And unfortunately, it took quite a bit of time before they picked up and tested for leptospirosis. And the person unfortunately passed away. And it's something, again, that you think you picking up a common cold. But if you're, you know, if you're swimming somewhere, biking, and you're coming in contact with pooled water, you know, that's in an area that could be affected by wildlife, always, you know, let them know. And we always take precautions here, you know, anytime, you know, you're working with animals, be very cautious when it comes to urine. Because you want to make sure that, you know, there's no contamination there with a possible leptospirosis.
And I don't think people understand that, and the fact that it can affect humans too. People don't know that. And so it's really important that you get your pet vaccinated, but also if your pet shows these symptoms or may have something wrong, that you even ask your veterinarian, could it be leptospirosis? So thank you. This is very important. And remember, don't let your dogs drink out of puddles or anything like that, because you never know what was there before. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Hello, everyone. Miss Olive and Sophia the Doggy Diva want to thank you for your amazing response to their special book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home. And they want to let you know that Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home is now available in both hardcover and softcover. And that's at Amazon.com. As Miss Olive says, woohoo, yippee! Thank you, everyone. Coming up, small dogs have different nutritional needs than large breed dogs. More on that coming up.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent to three small breed dogs, I am interested in learning all about special nutrition needs of my small breeds, the ones that I have. And here to tell us all about it is Kim Gablin, Senior Marketing Director at Bill Jack Foods. Hey, Kim, how are you?
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. And I'm so excited that we're going to be talking about small breed nutrition because I have a small breed household. So I'm looking forward to learning more about this.
Well, and I think, you know, you're not alone. there's actually a lot of households. And actually the small breeds have been growing as of late. And so it's really kind of interesting to see. I think, you know, as the population's getting a little older, you know, people may not want a big dog or maybe living in a condo situation. Certainly, there are a lot of people who are younger who are just getting a dog who might be living in an apartment. And, you know, small dogs, they can be very easy to care for in a lot of ways, and they're not super expensive to feed. So there's a lot of really good benefits for small breeds, and it seems like people are really latching onto that. So small breed is certainly a big topic right now.
I love it. And now, what special nutritional needs do smaller breed dogs have?
We know they really have a little bit, they're a little bit different, right, than a medium or a large breed dog. And so certainly when we're talking about small breeds, we're talking about dogs that are under 20 pounds, typically by the time they're an adult. So they're on the smaller side. And what's really interesting about them is that they have a different metabolism, right, than a larger dog. So they actually burn more energy per pound of dog than all the other sizes of dog. So they do have a little bit higher energy requirement to feed them. They also, you know, they grow typically within 9 to 12 months. And so they really grow pretty quickly for their size. And so they grow relatively quick for how old they are. So it's also very important to feed them properly when they're puppies because of that kind of higher energy need and that quick growth. And then they also tend to live longer. You know, I'm hearing very regularly back from people that, you know, their small breed dogs are living, you know, 14, 16 years of age. I mean, it's fantastic to hear that. So they have a longer lifespan, and so that certainly may mean some adjustments for how you feed them over that time.
You know, that's really interesting that you say that, because one of mine is, she's going to be 15 soon, and
wow.
She still has the energy, and her hearing may be gone, and her eyesight may be a little gone, but she still, if you look at her and you watch her move and you watch her react to the pack, I mean, she stays in the pack, but she just has that energy. So I agree with what you're saying, that even though they're little, they do have that higher energy requirement, and I think if they do have good nutrition, it just keeps them going in that same mode. I would imagine that would be, you know, something that not only I see, and I have another one who's coming up on her. She's 12. And then, of course, I have my little Coco, but who cleans everybody's dishes. So I can't really account by her. But yeah, so I think that that's really important to know. Now, in what ways can pet parents take care of their small breed dogs specifically?
Yeah, so, you know, I think thinking about your small breed, one of the things, because of that energy requirement, one of the things we typically suggest is, you know, some people may feed their dogs one time a day, but we typically suggest that you break it up into at least two times a day, so at least morning and evening, or, you know, if you're around and you can do that at lunch, you can break it up into three, you know, meals, but at least two meals, one in the morning, one in the evening, and that kind of helps to spread out that energy that's available to your dog to be able to use, and that's also very helpful. So I think that that's very important. You know, you have to remember also small breeds, they have a small tummy. And so you're going to have to get that nutrition in there relative to how their stomach is. And so it's really important to, you know, make sure you're measuring the food. It may be that you measure the food, you pour it in the bowl, and they eat everything. I have one of those.
I have one too.
He eats his food right away. He's all done. He's a small breed too. He loves that. He gets all excited. But then, you know, if you have a dog where if you're at least measuring and pouring it in there, they might eat a little bit now and then come back and graze a little bit. That's fine too. It's just most important that you're measuring and that they just can't eat as much as they want, right? That's where you can get in trouble. They can get a little bit overweight. And certainly, you know, being small, keeping them at a good weight is really important for their joints. I know we talk a lot about large breed dogs and their joint challenges, and they obviously are carrying a lot of weight. But relatively speaking, there are some small dogs that also have those challenges when they get overweight. So it's really important to keep them at a healthy weight and make sure you're measuring that food and monitoring their body condition.
You're right. That's so important. Now, another thing with small breed dogs, they could be a little finicky. Would you have a few tips for us pet parents with a little bit of a picky eater?
Yes, you know, we do hear that, and I think that the stereotype, right, is that small breeds are picky. I don't know if it's a chicken or an egg thing. I'm not really sure if they are, if we make them picky. Sometimes it's hard to be able to tell the difference. I do think that they have slightly different eating habits, and because of that, they may sometimes appear picky. I think what's most important is that you're helping your dog get the nutrition that they need every day, right? So, you know, keeping them, keeping their food and any kind of people food separate is really important, right? The more people food you feed them, the more interested they're going to be in that people food. And so they're going to come to expect it. Some of them may come to demand it. So it's really important to kind of think about if you're giving them anything that you're not feeding them, you know, from the table or putting that, you know, into their bowl kind of thing. So it's important to kind of think about that and also those extra calories that that's adding. Second of all, as we talked about a little earlier, sticking to a schedule is really important. You know, I don't know how, but my dog seems to know exactly when it's time to eat.
Me too. You know, I don't even need to wear a watch.
Yes, he absolutely knows that, hey, it's about this time and it's about time for me to eat. And so he starts, you know, he might bark, you know, he might once or twice, he might let me know or whatever. So, it, you know, sticking to that schedule, then they kind of know and their body kind of gets used to, right, what time do I usually eat? What time is that food coming? And so, you know, if it's a little bit off, it's no big deal. But as much as you can kind of keep it consistent, it's always helpful to do that. I know, you know, sometimes you're out, you know, you have something you're doing that you're home a little late or you're leaving a little early, you know, those kinds of things. That's not a problem. But as much as you can stick to a schedule, that helps them. And then, you know, last but not least, you know, finding a dog food that works for you and sticking with it. You know, the more you switch that food, then again, the more you may also force, you know, kind of teach, you know, that habit of, hey, you know, I don't want this, I want something else. So being able to find a food that works for you and for your dog is really important to be able to kind of help with that picky kind of challenge.
You're right. And they do. They sometimes do get in those little ruts. So it's always good to have something that's their go-to food. So now, how does Bill Jack support small breed nutritional needs?
Well, you know, we've really looked at kind of what are the different things that small breed needs? And then we've developed foods that are able to kind of support that. So for example, we have Bojack small breed puppy. And then again, that's for times when your puppy is, you know, basically once you bring them home to the time that they're about 12 months old, typically they're going to be on that puppy food. And then we have a small breed adult formula, which is then, you know, for those adult years. We have also formulated a small breed senior formula. That's one of our newer formulas. And, you know, again, as we were talking about, since small dogs live so long, it's important to be able to have a food. Now, my dog just turned 7 last week, and so that's technically when we talk about, you know, dogs being over senior. You know, I think it's probably a little bit later with small dogs, but I know that a lot of times, you know, somewhere around that 7 to 9 year age, it might be the time you might want to think about switching over to a senior food. And again, adjusting, we, you know, basically are looking at finding the right amount of nutrients through fat and protein and their vitamins and minerals, you know, to be able to deliver that for a small breed senior dog. And then, you know, we're just talking about picky dogs. We also have a picky no more small breed formula for in case you have a picky dog that's got chicken and chicken liver in it. And a lot of dogs have been getting really great feedback on it from dogs who are very picky that this seems to be a great solution for a lot of dogs out there that can't find something that they really like on an ongoing basis.
Well, it's interesting you say that because my senior, my one that's almost 15, that's all mm-hmm. she'll eat now. I mean, I had a hard time finding something and then I gave her that and she just loves it. So that's what she eats regularly and she looks forward to it. She's the one can't hear very well, can't see very well. But at, you know, 6:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock at night, I don't even have to set an alarm or set a clock because she's the one that gets the other two going and lets, like, okay, chop, chop, get her up, Time to eat. Yeah, so it is. It's really interesting. And those are interesting things and interesting habits that our pets have. Now, where can the listeners go to learn more about Bill Jack?
Yeah, I always say that we should start out at our website. It's BillJack.com. That's BILJAC.com. And we have a lot of information. You can actually look up our small breed formulas and all the different things that we have for small breeds. We also have a great dog blog out there in our resources section to be able to find particular information about, when to switch from puppy to adult food, or, what makes senior needs different or small breed needs different. And then we've got a great Best Friends Club that we have. It's an email that we send out once a month, and it has usually a few stories in it, like usually 3 or 4 stories in it, and then it gives you the opportunity to be able to get a coupon either for our treats or for our dry food. There are lots of great opportunities and information in there just to learn more about dogs and kind of, we're always interested in what we are learning new about dogs and how we can share that information. So that's how we try to get that across to everyone.
No, that's great. And I always look forward to my Best Friends Club. It comes in my email once a month, and I always look forward to it. Learn a lot. Also, I love those coupons. So, well, Kim, as always, thank you for being our guest today and for sharing such important nutritional information on small breed dogs with our listeners. It was very important for us to hear, and I think that we all learned a little bit. So I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back in just a minute. Coming up, how do you read your dog's behavior? An expert's view coming up.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Robin Bennett is a certified professional dog trainer, best-selling author, speaker, consultant, and a true dog guru. Robin is the author of All About Dog Daycare, A Blueprint for Success, and co-authored with Susan Briggs, Off-Leash Dog Play. Robin is co-founder with Susan of the number one staff training business consulting group for pet care industry, which is The Dog Gurus. So I want to welcome Robin Bennett to the show. Welcome, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm so glad to be here.
So happy to have you. And Robin, you have such a diverse background leading up to your accomplished career with dogs and business. Can you please share that with our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, everyone's often surprised to find out that I'm a retired colonel in the United States Marine Corps. So that always is a good topic to talk about.
And thank you for your service. Yes.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yes, I was in the Marine Corps and actually doing nothing with dogs. I was a logistics officer, and I had done that for many years, but I had always loved dogs and always wanted a dog. And so I asked my commanding officer one year if I could go to a dog training school. And it was really just something I was going to take leave and learn a little bit and just have some fun and come back and just do that as a hobby. And so I was granted that leave, and I went to a training school, came back and started working, as a hobby, just training dogs on the side and playing with dogs and doing those things in my free time. And turned out people started wanting to pay me for it. And so I thought, well, I hadn't actually even thought about making that a career, but I ended up at that point, I had 9 years in the Marine Corps and didn't really want to give that up. So I went into the reserves and then started my own business. So that's kind of how that, and then I remained in the reserves for, till I had 25 years service and retired, but was doing that and running my business by that time with dogs.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, you wrote this book All About Dog Daycare, A Blueprint for Success for New and Existing Dog Daycare Owners. Can you tell the listeners, what was your inspiration for that? I mean, it's a very sought after book for people in this business.
Well, it's quite ironic how things happen sometimes, because I had been training. When I first started training, I did 4 years of in-home lessons. So I was traveling around. I was really getting tired of living in my car, because that's basically what I did when I drove around from client to client. And I finally decided I wanted to have a facility where people could bring their dog and I could train them at my place, so I didn't have to drive around so much. So that's what I did. And then I thought, well, I have this space and most of my training is evenings and weekends, so what should I do during the day to help pay some of the revenue, you know, to generate revenue to pay the lease? So at that point, and this was about 20 some years ago, dog daycares were just starting to pop up, like in the West Coast. I had heard of a couple. So I said, I think I'm going to try this daycare thing. So that's what I did. I opened my daycare, and then I did start getting a lot of people asking me how I did it. And at that time, I really didn't have time to help people because I was busy running my own company. And but what I had done was I had written everything down. I had written a whole bunch of stuff down as to what I was doing and how I was working my daycare and how it was operating. And I just started saying, here, just take this and I'll have time to help you, but here's what I'm doing. Just go ahead and read it. Well, that is what turned into the book, All About Dog Daycare. And it turns out that, you know, when you write a book, people want to talk to you more, not less, is what I found out. But I actually wrote the book initially to get people to leave me alone because I didn't have time to help them. But then it obviously turned into a bigger book. It's actually in its second edition now.
Yes.
And I have, you know, obviously transitioned to doing primarily consulting. So I help lots of people now. But that was really what happened, was I just was trying to help people who were doing what I had done. And at that point, there was no guidance whatsoever. Everything was, you know, on the job training and learn as you go and figure it out. But obviously, there's more tools and resources now that we're 20 years into this kind of an industry.
Well, and I think that probably people are really thankful for what you did. What can the readers expect to find in your book?
The book is all about really starting a revenue stream of daycare services, for dog daycare services. So it's really about off-leash dog play. And it starts with, if you don't have a facility at all, what are the common headaches in terms of finding a facility? The industry is still pretty new. So a lot of counties and cities in the United States don't even have zoning regulations on the books for something like dog daycare. So it talks a lot about just what to consider and how to get through the zoning process and what kind of considerations you should look at in terms of location and size and space requirements in terms of how many dogs you're going to have. And then it moves from there. So that's sort of the, what do I need to actually open a business? And then it moves from there into a lot of the operational stuff. So what are the bare minimum things you need to consider in terms of operating? How much space you need, what kind of equipment you need, what kind of flow, traffic flow you need to keep the dog safe. And then things like staffing, how many staff you should have per dog and how that looks. And then it goes into a lot of the canine body language. And that really talks about what it takes to understand which dogs are best suited for off-leash play and then how to monitor them and keep them safe. Because a lot of people just think, well, you just throw all the dogs together and it all works out. That's really not the case.
It's
so we talk, the book does introduce a little bit of the body language stuff you need to consider before you open. And that's obviously our book that Susan and I wrote together, Off-Leash Dog Play, expands on. There's like a chapter in my initial book about that, but then we expand into it quite a bit in our second book.
You know, if I were a dog daycare owner, I definitely feel I would benefit from your book. But there's also something that it's not only important to have a business plan, and you just touched on this, it's also important to be able to read dogs. How do you help that prospective or existing business owner to do that?
Yeah, that's the whole thing I tell people is, when you don't know anything about canine body language, you're really experimenting with people's living human pets, you know, and that's not the way you want to learn. You want to learn as much as you can from reading books and watching videos. And I mean, you can even just go on YouTube and just watch videos of dog parks playing, or dog park video footage, or go to a dog park. But you really have to learn the basics of some canine body language. And so, like I said, there's about a chapter in my book that talks about that, and it talks about some of the signs to be aware of. Most people recognize the really obvious signs, like, oh, the dog's really happy because he's, you know, smiling and has an open mouth. And usually most people understand barking, growling, snarling is bad. But there's this whole entire realm of canine body language that we call kind of yellow area. And those are the body language signals that most people don't learn to know when to help the dog, when to intervene, or when the dog's not happy at from a really early point before they get to that stage of growling or snarling or barking or biting. So that, I think it's really important for people to understand the canine body language, and that my All About Dog Nature introduces that. And then the other book you had mentioned, Off Leash Dog Play, that book is entirely canine body language with a lot of pictures and explanations of things. And I was, like I said, I was a trainer for 4 years before I opened my daycare, and I thought, I was really sort of cocky thinking, oh, how hard can this be? I mean, I've trained dogs, I know dogs, and I can still remember the day I had 4 dogs off leash, and it's a totally different thing, because all of my training dogs, the dog's always on leash, so it was much more controlled, but it's a totally different thing when you take the dogs off leash, and there's dogs you don't know, so you really have to be proficient in their language to really make sure that you're keeping them safe.
You know, that's so important, and that's why I really appreciate what you did, what you put into your book. And I've been doing animal rescue and working with trainers for 25 years, and I had an incident quite a few years ago with one of my greyhounds at a dog park that had recently opened. I thought I understood dog language, being able to read the dogs. I didn't understand in this one situation, and we ended up in emergency, and he had 18 stitches in his neck. So it's very, very important for people to be able to understand that and to read that. And I thank you for bringing that out into the forefront, because I think people don't understand that it's like, you know, you're taking everyone off leash and they're all just running around, which is wonderful, but not everyone has the same. They're not in, their dogs aren't in the same place sometimes mentally as where your dogs are. Different dogs have different breeds, and different things have, you know,
right,
different things surface. So it's really great what you've done to sort of bring that to the forefront. And I think that for people who have indoor dog parks, or who even work in outdoor dog parks and have dog care centers, grooming salons, anything, your book is very helpful. And also you have an online class, which I want to get into. An online training program for the dog gurus. Can you tell our listeners about that? I think this is so phenomenal that you're doing this.
Yeah, we have at the Dog Gurus, we have a course called Knowing Dogs. And Knowing Dogs actually was built out of the book Off Leash Dog Play. And we kept getting people that said, this stuff in this book is great, but now we need video and we need testing modules and we need all this stuff. So we actually created it as a course, and it's Knowing Dogs 101 and Knowing Dogs 201. 101 is for anybody that deals with dogs, like you just said, groomers, vet techs, rescue groups, shelters, veterinarians, trainers, anybody that's dealing with dogs, we would recommend they watch 101, because that's going to teach them just how to stay safe, how to know when to approach a puppy or an adult dog, and how to approach it safely, and to recognize the signs that a dog might be overwhelmed when they first come into a facility, and how to keep yourself safe as well as your staff, and then how to keep the dog safe too. And then Knowing Dogs 201 is specific to anybody that does off-leash play. So if you're doing indoor dog parks or outdoor dog parks, or you're, even if you're just taking your dog to the dog park, it's going to help you. If you're doing shelters that do dog parks, or groomers that do indoor play of any sort, Knowing Dogs 201 really shows them how to read the dogs when they're playing. And like you said, it's different breeds play differently. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you have perfectly friendly dogs that like to play off leash, but they have different play styles, and you have to match those play styles correctly. So sometimes dogs get into little scuffles or disagreements, not because one is aggressive and one isn't, but just because they have different play styles and they just aren't a good match for each other. And so you have to understand that too. But both of those courses are online courses that you can take, and they're all certified by 3 different organizations, so we're very proud of that. So there's 3 different groups that give CEUs for the training community, the veterinary community, and then the pet service industry community. So it's a really comprehensive course, but we have people of all ages that take that course, and it's just fascinating, because the great thing is all of this is stuff they can learn so easily. And you'll find your relationship with your own dogs or any dogs you interact with is going to just be so much better once you're really understanding their language. And you will get the sense from the dog that they're like, oh, she gets me. And so it's really fun to really learn it and understand it.
Just as a pet parent, I would have known some of the things that I thought I knew, but there are some breeds that I'm not familiar with or that I don't interact with on a regular basis. I think that that's so great that you have that to offer. And I advise anyone with a pet daycare, boarding, indoor dog park, groomers, pet sitters, vet's offices, any dog entrepreneur can benefit greatly from, number one, your Dog Guru's staff training courses, and also the books that you wrote. They're very reader-friendly, and they help with information that's important to the dog and the dog parent. So where can the listeners go to learn more about your books and also the Dog Guru online classes?
The best place for all of that is located is on our website, which is thedoggurus.com. And they can find information about me, our courses, other information that we have. Or if they just have a question, they can find my email there and they can just shoot me an email or give me a call. And I'm happy to talk to people.
Before we go, Robin, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I just want to just really reiterate what you've said already, which is the basic principle that I basically live off of with anything with dogs, to answer any question about, should I do this with my dog? Should I do that with my dog? Is my dog talking? Is my dog upset? If you learn a little bit about canine body language, your whole view of making decisions and helping your dog live in the world will be better. I can just tell you, you're going to make so much better decisions just based on understanding your dog. So I would encourage everybody, everyone that has a pet or has a pet in their life, if it's that you encounter, or obviously if you're a pet professional, definitely learn about canine body language. And I kind of do ask pet professionals, because I feel like they're the front line to educate pet parents, for them to learn and then share that information with everybody who walks in their door. Just a few simple things that can help pet parents have a better relationship with their dogs.
Well, that's awesome. And Robin, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. And I want to thank you for all the work. It's just so valuable what you're doing for both pet business owners and for pet parents. I want to thank you so much. And I want the listeners to please go to thedoggurus.com to learn more about Robin and to learn more about the books, the wonderful books, and also for the terrific online courses that you're giving. So I thank you so very much. And thank you so much for all you're doing out there for us in the animal world.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. We'll be back in just a moment. We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.